You're listening to the Time to Thrive podcast, bringing you proven practical tips and strategies from a leading marketing expert. Are you ready to move your business out of survival mode? It's time to thrive. And now, here's your host, Bethany Meadows.
Hey everyone, welcome to Time to Thrive. It's Bethany Meadows, your host, and today I have a special guest for you. Her name is Shannon Peel. She is the creative force behind the Market Appeal brand. Oh, I love that. She is passionate about helping professionals define their brand stories and share them with the right audience. She is currently building a media empire where people can tell their stories around creating an appealing life, career, or business. This includes digital magazines, a podcast, video channel, and a workbook called Creating, you guessed it, Market Appeal. Welcome to the show, Shannon.
Thank you for having me, Bethany. I'm really looking forward to it.
So when you sat down to like think about your brand for your agency, you really bounced off your last name, didn't you?
Well, Bethany, when your last name is both a verb and a noun and you're a writer, what are you going
to
do?
You got to. You know? I love your logo, too.
Hey, you know what? I have to get a benefit out of it after having all those Emma Peel jokes and being a banana. And in our area, peeler means stripper and that kind of stuff. So after all of that, I got to get some benefit of having the name.
Oh, good. Well, you did a good job of creating this. Because you have all the things, all the sub brands and stuff around the Peel brand. I love it. Tell us your origin story. Everybody has one. And how did you get to the point of starting your own agency? And we'll get behind what your agency does in a little bit, too.
Well, I wish that I had one of those stories where I was 10 years old and I knew what I wanted to do and always did it. And I have been doing this since I was 20 and I'm so successful. But no, that's not my story. My story is at 40. So basically, I pretty much lost everything I was scared to lose and ended up in a mud pit and was trying to get a job because I just lost my job and couldn't find one. And the fact of the matter was, I had gone through a year and a half of the whole going through the interview gauntlet. And I swear I ended up with PTSD because even the idea of filling out, creating a resume and passing it out to somebody gives me heart palpitations. That whole process is so broken. But besides that, what I did is I decided, okay, you know what? I am a marketing person. Everything that I've done in my life has always had marketing throughout it. And when I say that, it is, I have always been telling the story, whether it was my sales positions, my customer service positions, marketing positions, and all the other types of positions I had, it was always a story and marketing and promoting a company. And I'm good at it. So I decided I would start a marketing company and, you know, maybe I get 5 customers who were wanting a part-time marketing assistant and I would work for them each one day a week and they'd share the bill. Yeah, well, that didn't work. And over time, what happened was I just went further and further into the brand storytelling and building up my own personal brand and digital footprint. And now I've got such a valuable piece of real estate that instead of having clients where I am doing it for them, I've created a platform where they can come and get a jump start on getting known in the marketplace for what they do because the digital footprint is built. They just add themselves onto my coattails.
So you invest pretty heavily in the written word. You have like a number of publications and so forth. Do you have a background in writing? Is that part of what led you in that direction?
I've always loved story. I grew up in the middle of, what I consider the middle of nowhere. Sorry, Okanagan. But, I grew up in a mountain and we had 2 television channels. And most of the time, my parents were sending us outside. And for 3 months of the year, we went out to the cabin where there was no running water and no indoor plumbing and definitely no television. So all I had was stories and books. So I spent a lot of time with the books, and I have a degree, and part of that degree is English, and I thought, oh, I want to write a novel. Mm-hmm. I finally wrote that novel at the age of 40, and then I followed it up with another novel. And so I do really enjoy writing. It's one of those things that I always wanted to do, but some journalist way back in the day told me I didn't ask enough questions to be a journalist, which is really funny because everyone nowadays, when they're on my podcast, goes, wow, you ask really deep, thought-provoking questions. Okay. Maybe I shouldn't have listened to that journalist way back when. And, you know, I just never really, well, you know what it was like when we were growing up, there was no internet. You know, what the resources that we have today were non-existent. I didn't have an idea about how to get published. I had no idea about agents or even where to go to find the information on how to do it. Like I said, you know, where I grew up, the movies, by the time we got the movies or the fashion, it was already like last year's thing everywhere else in North America. Mm. So I just had no idea about where to go. And so I just did what anybody does. Got a job, got married, had kids, lived for them, lived for their demands. And when they moved out, I had no choice but to focus on what I needed, what I wanted, and who I am. And once I didn't have the demands of other people to take my attention away from myself, I had no choice but to find my purpose, and I found it.
Awesome. Well, let's jump into brands a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of what you're doing is the brand and specifically that brand storytelling. Why is it important for a small business to get their brand right?
Well, small business people are not, for the most part, I mean, a lot of small business people are just like me. You know, they had other jobs and they found themselves in a position where they had no choice but to make their own job. Or they became realtors or financial planners or accountants. And all of these jobs, there's a sales component and a marketing component. And there's all these hats that they have to wear, but they may not have been trained in how to do it completely properly. And that was really bad English. I apologize. But, you know, and their way of making money, what they get paid for, what their genius is in what they do. It's not in telling their story. And I'm going to tell you, Bethany, nobody should tell their own story, including me, because we're too close to the story. We're too close to, we know all the details. We know the icky stuff and the good stuff. And we are all plagued with self-doubt and humility. Like, even the people that are overly confident, they have a problem with telling their story as well, even if they don't have the humility.
Right.
Because then it's like the other way.
To highlight the great things about ourselves.
We have a hard time.
Somebody else do it. Does it feels more third party and
third party credibility is a huge piece of the marketing funnel. And that's what I bring to a brand. I bring that third party, credibility. It's kind of like Forbes or Huffington Post or Thrive Global, except for I only focus on brand stories and stories that provide solutions for people who want to create an appealing life, career, or business, because I believe that we find solutions in stories that we can relate to. This idea came out of a summer of listening to biographies on Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and, you know, all of these people that have done superhuman things. And I could not relate to them at all. And in fact, I did not even find people in these stories that I respected or wanted to look up to, or the way that they treated people or the way that they thought was just so anti me. Can you hear that?
Mm-mm.
Okay, good. So you might be able to hear. Let me know if you can hear that. So basically I thought, you know what people need is they need real stories with real solutions for their lives, career, and work. And people need a place where they can share their stories and get that third party credibility. and that promotion in a place that isn't as noisy and distracting and depressing as social media. So that's where that all came from.
So what are some of the common mistakes that you see that business, small business owners make as it relates to their brand?
A lot of time, the biggest thing that, and I'm guilty for it as well, is only talking about themselves, only talking about the features and benefits and buy, 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 sell, 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 showing up here and there to say, hey, come buy from me, and only being there for yourself and your story and to get a benefit. The next biggest thing I find that they do is they want to jump the whole funnel, which means that they want to get their audience to come in at brand awareness and convert into a sale right away.
Right.
And they don't want to go through the process. And if there is a process, they don't value the process or enough, or the people building that process enough to understand how important that is, because they just want immediate results. SEO takes too long. Blog posts are, you know, take too long. There's no benefit unless there's an ROI established to it. So there's that, because they're missing out on the big relationship piece. Relationships take time. Now, a lot of people are really good at that. Some people are amazing at building relationships and want to have a relationship-based business and not a transactional business. That's the other thing. They have to know whether or not you are a transactional business or a relationship business. So if you're an e-commerce store, chances are you're a transactional store. You're a transactional business. You can change that into a relationship business by building a community around your store. But a lot of people just want to get that sale. And then they rely on automation to try to get people to come back and buy more at a new discount. Hey, we've discounted at 40%, 50%, 35% until today, until tomorrow. And what happens is that people start understanding, oh, well, the price is just really high to begin with. And then we're not really getting a deal. You're just making it sound like we're getting a deal. And then it becomes that, oh, maybe I can't really trust what you have.
You know, inside it, we have a Time to Thrive membership is what it's called. And it's kind of a group for business owners to next level their marketing skills. Mm-hmm. And we have a course in there on how to market to women. And one of the things that's interesting is that, first of all, women are not a niche market. They are the market, because we purchase or influence the purchase of 80% of everything.
Yes.
There are stats to back that up. But men are transactional while women are relational. So even if they're in an e-commerce situation that's a transactional business, they still want to feel some sort of connection to that business.
And not just automated email.
Right, right. And you know, that's where testimonials and videos of people that look like ourselves and that kind of thing can help make that connection even in a transactional setting. Mm-hmm. I know you talk about business brands and you talk about personal brands. And so what's the difference that you see between the two? And is it important for a business owner to have both?
It is important for a business owner to have both and to go back and forth between both. Because as a business owner, you are the face of your business as a small company. And people want to know who you are. And yeah, can they trust you? Mm. Are you worthy of their dollars? And those business stories are going to be I stories. So if you can imagine that you're standing up on a stage, what you've done is you have brought the audience with you up on stage, and they're seeing your story as you are seeing your story. They don't see any other point of view. It's what you know is what they know. And you're telling the story to them. Now, those stories are easy to write. We've got lots of them. I did this and I did that, and this is what happened to me today. Those are important stories to tell to get people to know who you are. But make sure that you know what you want people to know about you before you start. have a guide and a guide of some sort that helps you establish what you should be posting and what maybe you should just keep on the side. You know, everyone's talking about authenticity. Yes, be authentic. That doesn't mean that you need to tell everyone everything, though. There is so much, you know, there is still something called TMI.
Well, I love the intention of that, you know, being strategic about what we include in our brand stories, because words matter.
They do. Right?
The way we express ourselves are matter. And it's important to understand who we're talking to and who our audience is as part of that, too. So, you know, being intentional like that and having a plan, what do I really want to get across? What do I really want at the end of this? Having an objective and a goal in mind. Oh, yeah. So, you know, I was going to ask you about the process of developing that brand story. And I would say that that's probably the first step, right? Understand who your audience is and so on. But can you kind of
With your personal brand, you first have to you have to understand yourself. So like if we're doing personal brand, you need to know what your core values are, who you are, because that's the story that you're going to be telling. As a brand, you have to know who your audience is.
Okay. That's a good differential between the two.
Like when you're telling your personal story, you attract people that will be attracted to your personal story because you're telling your story and people who relate to it will come to you. When you're telling a brand story, though, you're not the hero of the story, because the hero of the story is the audience themselves. You are there to solve their problem, but they're the hero. They're the one with the problem. You're the solution. They're going to come into the story with a problem and be one way. They're going to go through their problem, finding the solution and getting that solution to solve their problem and coming out of the story different and better in one way or another. So, but you stay static. Mm-hmm. You don't change. So you have to, who your audience is very important when you're telling that brand story. The other thing is this is not an I story. This is not a we story. This is not a story that you tell in the first person. This isn't even a story that you tell in the third person. This is the place where, and the only place that is, and this is hard to do, where you tell a story in the second person. We are using you language. You have a problem. You are standing in your basement with water up to your knees. You need this problem solved now because the water is still rising and the stuff on the second shelf is in paper boxes and you want to make sure that it's taken care of. You need help. This is what you need to do. Call us and we will come and get rid of that water for you. And then the big difference between a story and a brand story is the end. When I tell a story, when I write a novel and I'm telling a story in my novel, at the end, I bring all of those threads together to provide a resolution that the reader is going to be satisfied with and feel like, okay, I read the story. I came to the end. I can shut the story. It's done. And I feel satiated when I leave the book or a moviegoer leaves the movie. You can have a bit of a cliffhanger if you're having a sequel, but they still feel like you finished the story. A brand story is different because you're coming to the end of your story, but it's not the end of the story. So when you're telling your story, you end it with a call to action. And that call to action then transports them from one story to the next story. So your brand story is actually a series of small, short stories written in the way that Sherlock Holmes was presented to people way back in the 1800s, where it was one section at a time in the magazine. It's the same idea with your brand story. Now, what happens is your brand story ends up becoming fractured because it's a bunch of sound bites all over social media, in your blog posts, and all of these other places. And what happens is if you ever hear someone say, well, what is it that you do anyway? You have a brand story problem because your story is fractured and they are not really sure why they should be calling you. And that's when you have to bring all those pieces back together. And you do that on, I mean, you should do that on your website or in some form of communication that you can guide them from beginning to end of your story so that even, but once again, it's a call to action. Call us and get, engage with us in a different way, mostly in the real world.
So once we have our stories, our brand story written, we then have the challenge, I guess, of getting it out there. So one of the things that I know that you're big on is kind of mapping out mm-hmm. a digital footprint for your brand story and getting people through your funnel, you know, right. through from awareness to brand ambassadors, what I call it, raving fans, sometimes people call it.
Yeah.
So what's the process for that? How would a business owner go about the process of mapping out a digital footprint?
Well, the first thing is understanding the different stages of your funnel. Now, a lot of digital marketers say have three stages in a funnel where it's top of funnel, middle funnel, and bottom of funnel. A lot right. of content marketers use that type of funnel. I prefer a more in-depth funnel where we're talking about awareness, we're talking about credibility, we're talking about interest. Basically, determine what your customer's journey is and build the funnel out of that customer journey. So if you're a e-commerce store, chances are top of funnel, middle of funnel, bottom of funnel is your customer journey. So make sure that you are in those places that your customer is going to be throughout their journey. Now, where are they going to find be aware of you? Where are they going to become aware of you online, in the real world? Write that out, like the circles, you know, mind map that with circles saying, okay, the social media, Facebook, Twitter, all the right. places where they're going to become aware of you. So once they become aware of you, where do you want them to go? What's the next step in the client journey? What is it that they else that they need to know in order to get a little closer to that buying process? For some people, if you're a thought leader, speaker, if you have to prove your expertise, you need a information site, an authority platform, somewhere where they can come so that they can figure out that you know what you're talking about. Well, that would be your authority part of your platform or your interest part. Credibility, oh, well, that would be your publicity. That would be your third-party publicity. Or that could be your online reviews. Anywhere that people go in order to get a third-party stamp of approval of your brand. Then we come down into the other part. So now that they have come from awareness, they have seen that you're credible from other people. Now they've determined that you're an expert, or if it's a product that this, you know, has the brand, the features or benefits that they want. Then it comes into the decision-making piece. How do they make a decision about whether or not they're going to proceed to hiring you? What is that? What are all the objections that they're going to give you in a sales cycle? So if you're a salesperson, you start at the beginning where you're introducing, you book the meeting, then you introduce the product, you give them your pitch. We're at the objections piece where there's all these questions that they may have. So this is where your FAQ page is. This is where your ask me anything thing is. This is where maybe your webinar is, or your, hey, let's have a meeting and talk one-to-one is. Then you need the piece where, how do they take action? How are they actually going to book you? Where are they going to buy your product? Make sure that that's in there. Once they've bought, Then we're coming into advocacy, all those other words that come with advocacy.
Brand ambassador.
Yeah, ambassador, yeah. Fan, all of those things. Now that is all customer relationship stuff. That's where your email marketing for your customers come in, which is different than your email marketing for your prospects. It should be a different email because they've already bought your product. They've already bought who you are. You're not having to sell yourself at the same level that you are to someone who doesn't know who you are yet. It has just come onto your newsletter. This is when you're having events and getting people to ask them to write those reviews and all of that. So that's all in that advocacy piece. So just understand how your customer gets to where you want them to go, and then make sure you're in all of those pieces and that you are creating those pieces in the way that they interact with content. Right now we're on a podcast. Maybe your customer, potential customer, likes to engage with content audibly. You want to have a podcast where you can establish your expertise. Perhaps they like to read. So you have a book, a magazine, a blog. Or perhaps they like to watch. So you have a video channel. Or, you know, if you're crazy like Bethany and me, you have all three. Because I think, Bethany, you must be a little bit like me. Totally insane on when it comes to the amount of work that we put into creating our brand awareness or brand expertise or interest or authority piece. Now, if you're on social media, make sure that you're interacting with the social media in the way that it was intended to be interacted with. Facebook is very different than Twitter, which is very different than LinkedIn, and TikTok is different than all of them. So make sure that you are showing up in the way that other people show up on that site. And number one, success. Here is the key to success, the secret to success on social media, the one and only thing that will make sure that you're successful on social media. Bethany, do you know what I'm going to say?
The one and only thing that will make sure that you're successful on social media?
Yeah.
Be on the channel where your audience is?
There's that. There is that, but that's not the number one thing. In my opinion, okay, that's Bethany, you know, and Bethany's going to go, oh, duh. Because I put her on the spot, people. It's not that she doesn't know the answers, because I put her on the spot. There to me all the time. It's like, oh. Basically, I always tell people, engage with other people's posts. If you want people to notice you, figure out who it is that you want to notice you. Find them on social media and engage on their posts. If you know that that person over there is like your avatar, your ideal customer, go and engage on their posts. That's how they will notice you. And the people that are like them will also notice you.
So if our audience today had to take away one nugget, you dropped a few, more than one. If they could just remember one, what would you like to highlight as that one thing that every business owner needs to remember about their brand story?
Oh my gosh, there's so much. There is so much, but really, I think that the number one thing that you need to do, because you could go and do all the things that I said, but if you don't know what your value system is and who you are and the message that you want to be known for, you could engage on a million people's posts and not get the story right because you're telling the wrong one. So make sure you know what it is that you want to be known for. Seek out posts about that so that you can comment on it and talk about it and really get to know, be the authority on what it is that you want to be known for.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jan, and really appreciate you coming and sharing with our audience all of your words of wisdom.
Well, thank you very much, Bethany.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Time to Thrive podcast, check out our other resources for business owners and entrepreneurs at timetothrivemembership.com. Running a business is more challenging than ever before. Time to Thrive is where you can get marketing training, group coaching, and community support. Visit timetothrivemembership.com to learn more.